It's a time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill. How are we?
Hi, Howard. I'm well, thank you. I hope you are too.
Yes, indeed. Now, it's a turbulent time, let's put it like that. And perhaps sometimes in this turbulence, people have been living abroad for a while and perhaps they want to go back to the UK. Last week we talked about financial planning for 2019. And if these people are thinking of returning home, do you find that many expatriates return to their home country at some point? Perhaps they've decided really, initially, they want to live in the paradise forever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's unusual for people to return home. Look, there's a kind of a, and forgive me for putting it in such a flippant way, but we're all sort of homing pigeons in a sense. You know, whilst I know that lots of us who are expatriates have our own grumbles about the UK, especially at this moment in time when all of the political shenanigans have been going on, the simple fact is we kind of remain patriotic and loyal to the UK, generally speaking, and that's understandable. Over the period of the last 35, 40 years, the kind of information that we have managed to garner suggests that a very substantial proportion, in fact, the majority of women who are widowed whilst living an expatriate life, within a year or two of the decease of their husband, tend to return to the UK. And for obvious reasons, Howard, the family are there, there's grief involved, there's grandchildren, there's, you know, increasing age and health concerns. So it's not unusual for widows to return. It's less common for widowers to return. But there have been an increasing number of families, couples who have returned to the UK. Look, if you turned up in Spain several years ago and budgeted for your future life at a kind of an exchange rate of 150, 160, which was what was available then, and you're now finding that your sterling is only buying you, you know, 112 or 113 or whatever it is, for each pound you get much less money, then of course it becomes much more difficult. And of course, if you have sterling assets and you return to the UK, a pound note still buys a pound note's worth of goods. You aren't having a currency exchange rate risk involved in your financial affairs. And so, you know, there are lots of people who do want to live in paradise forever, but realise that sometimes the grass on the other hill, on the other side of the hill, has changed colour, and you need to go back to where you started from.
Yeah, indeed. So perhaps then, Bill, those who are planning to return to the UK, or may one do, how important is them to review their financial planning before they make that decision? Do so in advance.
Oh, I think it's vital. You know, if you're going back for less than health reasons, and you're going back for financial reasons, it's vital, imperative, that you can try to consider the point in time at which you return, so that you can judge the time at which you get back to maximise the tax benefits of having been a non-resident of the UK. There are quite a lot of advantages that you can have that will last for many, many years, if not in some cases for the rest of your life, just because you happen to have been a non-tax resident of the UK for some time. And so the longer in advance that you're able to consider a possible return, the better it is. And if you are and have been a non-resident of the UK for many years and even may have acquired UK non-domicile status, the very announcement of an intention to return can invoke again your UK domicile status, because you've just broken the indefinite intention to reside abroad. And the best thing to do in those circumstances is to go talk to Blevins Franks, an independent financial advisor, about your thoughts and concerns, so that you might be properly guided and don't act as it were impetuously about a return, and time it so that you're able to take advantage of the tax breaks that may come your way if you get it right.
Yeah. So what you're saying then, Bill, is there are great benefits if you get the timing right.
Yes, there are possibly some incredibly good benefits of getting it right. But I can tell you this, if you get it wrong, it can be very costly. So the answer is, if you are contemplating even in the back of your mind a potential return to UK in the next year or few years, then start talking to Blevins Frank about it now, so that you get all your ducks lined up and you don't end up costing yourself a lot of money when you could have avoided it.
Yeah. Finally, Bill, if one of our listeners has decided to go back to the UK, at what point will their UK residency start again?
Surprising, actually, how quickly you can reassume residence. It's an easy mistake to make to assume that since the UK is your home country, that moving back is, you know, relatively straightforward. But as with so many things, with when it comes to tax and financial planning, a whole raft of issues can trip you up. And as we said a moment ago, the careful and precise early planning is important to make your move as straightforward as possible. Now, as soon as you resume UK tax residence for tax purposes, your worldwide income and gains becomes taxable, and it can be costly to assume that you will only become a UK resident when you step back on British soil. In a lot of cases, residency can be triggered before you even leave your overseas country of residence, potentially bringing you back into the firing line for British tax much sooner than you expected. And this happens sometimes, for example, if you still own a UK property or you buy a property before moving back, even if you keep your property in the country in which you now live. As soon as you are seen to stop using it as your main home, you could, and in many cases are considered to be, a UK tax resident. That comes as a shock to most people. The idea that you're planning for it and then suddenly you find yourself in the UK tax net seems bizarre when you haven't actually taken that big step. If you do plan, as I say, to spend time in the UK, prepare for your returning advance, take care not to accidentally bring forward the date that you become UK resident for tax purposes. It can take as little as just 16 days back in the UK to trigger residency if you've been a non-UK resident for under 3 years. And so if you've been non-resident for longer, you could become resident after just 46 days. And so the common misconception that you've got to be back in the UK for 182 days to resume your residence is not true. Whilst generally, you can't decide where you are as a resident for tax purposes, and the rules are complex both overseas and in the UK, you might have some control over the timing of your UK residence if you plan properly. And with guidance, you can certainly plan a transition from where you are to where you're returning at a time that will minimise your tax liabilities, both in your country of residence currently and the UK.
Very interesting, Bill. So, Bill, here in Spain, are there any other tax considerations that people need to think about when they leave Spain?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, your financial arrangements as they are presently need to be designed to match up to your personal circumstances and your residency status and what your objectives are for the short, medium and longer term. Once you move back to the UK, assets and structures that you may have employed to work for you favourably in Spain may not be as beneficial. On the other hand, they may prove to be even more beneficial if you've got the timing right and if you've talked to Blevins Franks in advance about the manner of tweaking the structures and the means of investing that you've employed. You might be going back to the UK to live in many respects in an environment where you can still enjoy capital gains tax-free roll up of income and gains within the structure that you put together in Spain. But as well as the tax implications for income, such as, with your pension, your residency is going to influence your tax liabilities, you know, when you're buying or selling or moving any financial interests around. So before you buy a new home, for example, you need to make sure that you understand how those tax rules in the UK locally and in the UK and locally might restrict or eliminate the availability of the relief, for example, from capital gains tax on your principal private residence, especially once the UK is no longer a member of the European Union, because some of the benefits which apply as a consequence of the UK following EU regulations may no longer apply. And so, depending on your situation, it might be beneficial for you to either bring forward or even to delay selling or transferring any of your assets according to where you're a tax resident. And if your careful planning of the date of your sale is carried out with proper advice, you can end up with a very advantageous set of circumstances.
Yeah, and very important with the large thing, the estate planning, Bill.
Yeah, this is always, again, a tough one for people to consider, but the estate planning will need a thorough review to consider what is going to happen when you change out of the code of succession tax, which applies in Spain, which has a wholly different set of principles and rates, to Returning to the UK, where inheritance tax is applied, as I say, in a very different way. Probate will come back into consideration and how you might avoid the implications of that. If you've got trust arrangements, there will be potentially tax consequences, and you need to explore how you can mitigate any impact of that before returning to the UK. I mean, specialist advice, if you're moving from one country to the other, if you think about it logically in a common sense approach, obviously you're moving from one jurisdiction to another, you are going to need specialist advice in the country you're coming from and the country you're going to. If you got any ideas of planning for UK inheritance tax, those also need to be set up at the earliest opportunity. Just as I said earlier, if you indicate outwardly any intention to return to the UK at that point in time, if you had obtained UK non-domicile status, the very intention to return is enough to bring back your UK domicile status, because to continue to hold non-UK domicile, you need to have an indefinite intention to remain outside of the UK. And of course, if you have shown any indication of returning, that indefinite intention has suddenly evaporated.
Yeah. So finally, Bill, what about pensions? Is this another aspect they should be reviewed before you leave Spain?
Yes, I think so. I think, you know, clearly you've had the advantage if you've transferred, for example, your UK pension out of its previous status into a qualifying recognised overseas pension scheme, you will need specialist advice on the best way forward. It may be very advantageous in those circumstances, but you certainly need to plan for that transition. And if you have set your pension decisions up, If you're making decisions like partial withdrawal of your pension fund, for example, if you base those on tax compliant opportunities in Spain, then you need to establish what the tax circumstances will be once you're thereafter liable for UK taxation. So, yeah, it's quite important.
Well, Bill, do you have any other advice to help people who are moving back to the UK with their financial and tax planning?
I think, you know, the lack of certainty over how Brexit is finally going to unfold and what its implications will be. There is so much uncertainty, it's very difficult to be precise as to what you might do or when such changes might take effect. But remember, if you return to the UK after the Brexit cutoff date, you will be moving to a non-EU country to become a non-EU resident. Now, that could trigger higher taxation in terms of exit taxes on the sale of shares or capital gains tax on selling property within the EU. Whatever your reasons are for returning to the UK, it is vital that you plan carefully a long time in advance, wherever possible, and review all the tax and wealth management considerations before you leave the country which has been your home. Ideally, if you're able to be flexible around the timing of your move, you should plan your return date around your tax planning. But beware of that ticking Brexit clock. As an advisor with cross-border expertise, you know, Blevins Franks is in a prime position to help avoid punitive tax implications that may arise simply because the EU and the UK are having a divorce.
Yeah, and the website is the best place to start. A lot of information there.
Yeah, I think if you go to the website at blevinsfranks.com, www.blevinsfranks.com, you can check out all the offices of Blevins Franks, all the staff that occupy them. You can look at tax articles, the recordings of these programmes are there, Howard. It's a worthwhile place to start an introduction to Blevins Franks. So if you find somewhere close to you where you feel you might like to take advice, please give them a call. They'll be delighted to hear from you.
Many thanks. We'll talk again here in Spain at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Take care.